Welcome back to Canna Week, brought to you by New Frontier Data. We deliver the week's top headlines in cannabis and hear experts weigh in on the impact these stories are having on the industry. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. Before we get started, if you are loving this podcast, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a five-star review and share this episode. So in honor of it being Valentine's Day week, maybe, I am thrilled to announce that we have a great guest on today. She is the co-founder and CEO of Quim. Please welcome Kayo Nystrom. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
I have so many questions. So I'm very, very excited. And we're going to make John blush a lot. So get ready. And as always, I'm pleased to welcome back our in-house expert. He's the leader of our amazing research team, New Frontier Data's Chief Knowledge Officer, Mr. John Cagia.
Delighted to be back, Heather, and looking forward to this conversation.
Right. Well, okay. So Kayo, for people that don't know Quim, your website is fantastic and it's definitely not coy or any kind of play on words. It is like, does not pull any punches on describing your company as a self-care line for humans with vaginas and humans without vaginas who love vaginas. So that's a lot of vaginas.
Yeah, we are very badge forward here at Quim.
I love it.
I think, you know, it's high time that someone take vaginal health and sexual wellness seriously and make products products for people with vaginas and really take their ingredients seriously and the issues that so often are very relevant and painful at times for people with vaginas. So super excited to get into it.
Yes. I mean, I just think it seems like you guys have a lot of fun too. I mean, I know that there's definitely a serious wellness part to it, but it seems like you guys kind of really let loose. So we haven't met, but I know that you, I see that you've been in the cannabis industry for a couple of years now. Tell us a little bit more about your background, but what made you kind of steer this way?
Yeah, of course. So I started working in the cannabis industry in late 2015. I had been working in enterprise software sales in San Francisco. I think it was a really great learning experience. I think anyone who starts their own business should, I think the two most important jobs I've ever had that prepared me for what I do now are working as a waitress and a cocktail waitress and also working in sales. I mean, you could argue that being a cocktail waitress is also working in sales. So I very grateful for the experience I had in tech. Also taught me that making money was important to me, which I think was not something I maybe knew growing up. I was like, oh no, I'm going to be a free thinker and a poor artist. And then I started making money and I was like, oh no, money doesn't buy happiness, but it can buy a lot of things that make your life a lot easier and more enjoyable. So that was a really important lesson to learn. Also gave me the ability to save a lot of money, which was the sort of startup egg for Quim. But I started working in cannabis for a number of reasons. My first job in the industry was working as the head of sales at Meadow, which is a tech platform that powers California cannabis. I wanted to get involved at that time. I felt like my type of consumer wasn't really being represented. Obviously that's changed so much in the past few years. And then, for more personal reasons, I was raised by a single mom and my father had been incarcerated when I was 4 years old for nonviolent cannabis crimes, which is something I carried with a lot of shame and didn't really talk about, until getting involved in the industry. And suddenly I realized it was actually a point of pride. You know, it's something that helped me, I think, connect a lot more deeply with the war on drugs and the way regulations were being put in place to ensure that people who had, who had a criminal record with nonviolent cannabis crimes were not locked out of the industry. So it was really exciting to get involved, like 2016, 2017, really getting to, I think, be a part of those legislative meetings. I went to probably like 17 different public comment hearings throughout the state of California, because what you would think maybe as a software company was, an interesting use of our time. But we were responsible for building, point of sale systems and really had to have a deep understanding of track and trace, if delivery was going to be allowed, how much inventory can a delivery driver carry in their car? That was really my entryway into the cannabis industry. When I started working at Meadow, I started to learn a lot more about the medicinal benefits of cannabis. I had really been a recreational consumer, had never really used topicals. And I started to learn more about all of these amazing benefits of this incredibly healing plant. And I had been dealing with, you know, pretty persistent vaginal health problems since I was about 18 years old. I had been in a cycle of UTI yeast infection, really felt like I was at war with my sex organs. And all the women in my family are super susceptible to UTIs, yeast infections, you know, bacterial vaginosis. And I had been making my own vaginal health products since I was about 23. They did not have cannabis in them. But when I started to learn about cannabis a lot, you know, more deeply, I was like, oh, what if I included these, what if I included cannabis in the vaginal health products I'm already making? And it was really exciting.
That's amazing. Now, how did you meet your partner?
My co-founder, Rachel, she is the wind beneath my wings. There would be no Quim, you know, without Rachel, I would still just be making these products in my kitchen and giving them to my girlfriends. Rachel and I grew up together in San Francisco. We actually played soccer in the Golden Gate Youth Rec Soccer League since we were like 6 years old. So knew each other when we were really young and then reconnected after college. We shared some mutual friends and, you know, I would say we're friendly and friends, but not like super close. And then after I'd been making sort of cannabis infused vaginal health products for probably like a year and a half, I started, you know, getting calls from girlfriends being like, hey, remember that like weird mason jar of stuff you gave me? I'm going to need a refill. And I, you know, I think I always knew that I wanted to, you know, start my own company. I wasn't sure what that was going to look like. My mom's an entrepreneur and I just, you know, I knew that that for me, that that was really the end goal. And it became clear after making these products for a while, at first just for myself, that maybe all of these sort of, you know, this ongoing war I'd been having with my own body was for a reason. And maybe, you know, after years of talking about my vagina and getting very comfortable with it and making products for myself in my own kitchen, that maybe I'd be able to, you know, help more people and turn it into a business. So I approached Rachel. She had been traveling for about a year. And we were at a friend's birthday party and we were like outside and she was talking about what she wanted in the sort of next chapter of her career. And I just had this sort of like light bulb moment. I feel like I'd been low level looking for a co-founder for years, someone that had a complementary skill set or complementary in that like very different. I'm a very interpersonal person. I think I have my best ideas when I'm in dialogue with someone else and knew that I really didn't want to do it alone. And so, yeah, I heard her say this. And then like a few weeks later, I proposed this business idea to her and asked if she would want to join me on this ride, which Rachel doesn't have a history of vaginal health issues. And Rachel is not a cannabis consumer. I mean, she takes CBD now, but at least at that time she was like, oh no, pot is not for me. But you know, there were other elements of the business that I think she was really excited about. And yeah, so we have been working on this since like late 2016, but really launched the brand as you see it today in 2018 and started doing it full time.
That's amazing. That's such an amazing story. John, any questions for Kyle?
Well, I love that founder story, just incredible. And I love the space that you're in. It's clear that we as a society don't address vaginal health. Certainly most men have no clue. And so we should be embracing every opportunity that we can to get better educated. But to your point about, you know, this being an issue that women tend to deal with a lot of shame just because of the way it's, you know, society embraces it. I applaud you for bringing light and clearly a product that addresses this issue with cannabis to the market. I'm curious about the evolution of the mason jar to the product as we see it today. How did you kind of come up with your formulations first for yourself and how did that evolve as you got the product to commercialization?
Yeah. So before, you know, I even started infusing these products with cannabis, you know, I was really out there. I call it Goldilocksing. You know, it's like, this chair is too small. This chair is too big. How do I find something that's right for me? And frankly, you know, Rachel would be the first person to tell you, I'm not known for my attention to detail. So I would, you know, every batch was different. I would, you know, the first products that I was making for myself were little tea tree suppositories. Tea tree is the first ingredient I discovered that really helped keep UTIs and yeast infections at bay. It's a very powerful antimicrobial, antibacterial, and it's also a very strong, it's a very potent plant. You want to use you need a very, very small amount of it. So it was a lot of trial and error. And when I brought Rachel in, she was like, okay, like what's the recipe? And I was like, ooh, I don't know. I just like usually take whatever like swag I have around the house, sort of like seeds and stems or like the end of, you know, an eighth or a quarter of weed. And I put it in the oven and I just sort of like go from there. And she was just like, oh no. She was like, so we have to start at square one. I was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I know, you know, the general ingredients that have been really helpful for me, but, you know, we made, gosh, probably like 20 different batches of different ratios using different, you know, a CBD heavy plant, an indica heavy plant, a sativa heavy plant, and then got our friends to test it. And really just, you know, went off of that. And then of course, when we started to actually, you know, take our initial formula and, you know, I wouldn't even say mass produce it. You know, our first batch we made in 2017, so we could still do that ourselves in a commercial kitchen. We didn't have to have a license. We had a mutual benefit corporation. But these are the old days of California cannabis. So I would say there was a big shift taking it from, you know, just my sort of Goldilocksing in the kitchen to trying to standardize a formula for us to make in small batches. And then there was another level when, you know, 2018 came around and we had to find a co-packer, a contract manufacturer, someone who did have the licensing. And when we really had to look at, you know, there are so many different ways to put cannabis into an MCT oil, which was our first product, Night Moves. And, you know, do we want to use an isolate, a distillate, a rosin? You know, there are so many different factors. And of course we had a limited capital. So, you know, there were decisions that had to be made. And I would say, you know, we continue to improve the process of the product and make sure that, you know, we're protecting as many cannabinoids as possible. I think, you know, we're starting to understand more, you know, I feel like we know a fair amount about THC and CBD, but there are a lot of benefits of THCA and other cannabinoids. So, you know, for us using a broad spectrum or full spectrum approach has always been really important. And, you know, sometimes that makes the product more expensive, but, you know, the origin of this, of these products was to make products that were body safe and that worked well and did not have a lot of chemicals and didn't have glycerin in them. So that was, you know, sort of the origin or sort of the trajectory. I think, you know, early on, it became very clear that as long as our products were oil-based, we would have a limited consumer base. You know, if you are using latex condoms or silicone toys, oil-based products are not going to be compatible. But, you know, this was like 2018 and the chemistry and product development side of the bit, you know, of the industry wasn't as advanced yet. And it took us about 2 years to develop a latex safe formula and one that didn't have glycerin as its base. You know, we have to do a nano emulsification. Thankfully we've been working with Virtosa since it was actually just Harold Hahn, the scientist, and we would like meet up in a parking lot and he'd give us like samples. So it's been so cool to, I think, get to work with people in the industry who have been doing this, you know, since it was just one scientist in a lab. And now Virtosa is this, you know, amazing, very pretty robust company that is, you know, making nano emulsions for everyone from us to so many people in the, you know, beverage space as well.
That's amazing. Well, moving on, unless John, you have anything else for Kaya?
Tons more, but let's move on.
I know. I'm like, we're going to move on at some point. All right. Well, Benzinga.com reported Valentine's Day gives weed brands a loving boost with more lucrative years ahead. So we all know the high holiday for cannabis is 420. But as attitudes towards cannabis have been softened and consumption has become just more widely acceptable, any occasion has the potential to stimulate sales and turn a celebration into this high holiday. So John and I have spoken so much about all these value-added products like edibles and infused beverages. Kyle, a question for you is, what unique challenges or opportunities come with marketing a non-ingestible products like a topical?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, as the industry evolves, I think people are starting to understand that cannabis has so many benefits beyond smoking or vaping or taking an edible. You know, the fact of the matter is topicals are always going to be, you know, a sliver of the market share. Let's say max, you know, I would say at its peak, maybe 5% of sales will be for topicals. I would say probably more likely about 3% of sales. And, you know, probably the largest, the biggest mover in topicals is going to be, you know, pain relief balms, actual creams that you can use for, you know, inflammation or injury or menstrual cramps. So already we're operating, you know, we're in probably one of the smallest sectors in the industry, and we make, you know, intimate products. So already the majority of people coming into dispensaries are not really looking for a product like ours. I think that's why, you know, as we've grown as a business, it's become very clear to us that we're not a good fit for every dispensary. We also have hemp-derived CBD products that we sell in Urban Outfitters. We just launched with Madewell. We're in every Good Vibrations and Babeland store nationwide. But on both sides of the business, we're not a good fit for every shop. We're not a good fit for like a CBD kiosk in a mall where people are looking for like a quick tincture. This product requires a lot of education. I think we've learned that, the shops that sell, we're way more interested in deepening our relationships with preferred partners. For example, we look to have, you know, maybe like in Los Angeles, we maybe have max 5 dispensaries, you know, we know that the Sweet Flowers are always going to sell a lot more product because, you know, those shops are curated for a more female clientele, a less price conscious clientele, and their staff, you know, we need to work with retailers that really believe that bud tenders are there to provide a huge amount of education. And so, you know, anytime we bring on a new retailer, we, you know, require that the whole team do a staff training. And the first thing I do as part of that staff training is I make everyone say vagina over and over again. Regardless of their gender or physical anatomy, they have to say vagina until everyone in the room can do it without laughing, because that's it's essential. And, you know, I've had experiences before I started Quim where I'd go into a dispensary and I'd be like, what do you have for, you know, menstrual cramps? And I would be talking to some, you know, probably 22-year-old guy. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, well, I don't know. Here's this like really high THC weed that I like to dab. And I was like, okay, I don't really feel like you're listening to me. That's not really what I'm looking for. I think the challenge is that these products require so much education, and we can do, you know, we make ourselves available to do that education, you know, in person via Zoom. We also provide them with a lot of training materials to, you know, disperse amongst the staff. I would say that is a challenge. You know, it's not like a vape cartridge that sells itself, or, you know, a high dose edible that will just sell itself. So I think that's a challenge, but it's also allowed us to, have a much more, like a much clearer cut go-to-market strategy. You know, I think it's actually a lot harder to market and define your brand if you're trying to sell to everyone, and we're not.
I'd be curious to know like the ratio of, you know, female bud tenders to male, because I know when I was in Vegas and I went to a dispensary there, I was shocked to see there was like 6 women on the floor. And I was like, oh, this is great. Yeah, I mean, it was just a different relatable experience that I could ask them about. Like,
yeah,
like
you said, and I would actually
and not feel embarrassed. And yeah, it's.
Yeah, I would. I mean, definitely in the shops that sell Quim, I would say the bud tenders actually probably skew more female identifying. But, you know, those are also the shops that want to carry Quim. I'm sure it varies store to store.
Yeah. John, did you have anything to add to that before I move on?
Well, I agree that, you know, with Kaya, that yes, the topical space is going to be a much smaller segment than many of the other product categories that we see. But there's a duality there. One, you know, if we're looking at a market that's going to be 50 to 100 billion, as it currently stands, Americans are spending $100 billion on cannabis. The US market is going to be well on its way to 50 billion plus in the next handful of years. So 3% of that is still pretty decent kind
of definitely
stream if you're well positioned if you're well positioned for that market. I am curious about as you think about kind of the messaging and the way you're leading in the dispensaries that you sell. Based on your product line, it looks like there's broadly two pillars: the vaginal health focused side, and then the more kind of intimacy side of the product. Which of those two do you tend to lead with in the retail market? And how do you communicate those two? How are those two positioned in the dispensary?
Yeah, well, I would say both of these products can be used for intimacy, you know, for increasing sexual pleasure, and also both can be used for more medicinal applications. I think the real, you know, the real sort of like decision tree is, are you going to be using this product with latex condoms or silicone toys, or are you not? Because if you're not, then I, you know, Night Moves, our first product, which is, you know, still our best seller but a pretty small margin. It is, you know, this product, it can be used. This one has tea tree in it. It also has Damayana. So this one is, you know, but it's also an oil base. So oils can be a little bit messier. Oils are not, you know, some people are, you know, susceptible to, you know, irritation with oils. This one, our latex safe serum is an aloe base. Aloe vera has a lot of really amazing benefits, not just as a lubricant, but it's pH balancing. It's naturally anti-candidal. And so we have a lot of people who use this one, not just for having sex with latex condoms, but they also, you know, if you have a silicone diva cup or some type of menstrual cup, or, you know, we have a lot of people who will put some on a tampon and then use it. This one, you know, because there is a much more involved chemical process and making a nano emulsion. This one, it does have a slightly higher retail price. So I think that will, you know, if it's a, you know, concern around price, people will probably go for Night Moves. Something we did in 2020 is we launched 10 milliliter sizes. So we launched minis of each one, which I think has been a really strong, product expansion for us, because it allows people to try these products for about $20 as opposed to, you know, 48 or 56. And that just means, you know, the barrier of entry is a lot lower. It also means, you know, that just invites much higher discoverability. You know, you can position these products sort of at the checkout counter in a dispensary and someone will be like, oh, what's this? I'm curious about this. And if they try it, you know, and like it, then they'll come by and buy, you know, come back and buy the larger size. But that's been really, you know, I think the price point of these products has, you know, used to hinder us, because unless you really know what you're coming in for, you know, a $50 ticket item as like an add-on, that's a much harder pill to swallow than a $20 item.
Well, that's definitely like tried and true in, you know, Sephora or any place that you're in, you know, the checkout line has all the trial sizes, or, you know, the trials, and they're not cheap, but they're kind of like, I've always wanted to try this, but I didn't know if I wanted to spend $70 on that night cream. Let me try this.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's, you know, it's totally how I try out new products. It's like, I read reviews and I'm like, of course I would, but like, is the La Mer skin cream, like eye cream, is it really worth it? Well, I'll try this like $30 version. And if I really like it, I'll go back.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't agree more. Well, speaking of just, you know, the product experience, what kind of feedback have you gotten as far as people saying this, like change their intimacy experience or, their wellness or health?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, as I'm sure you both understand, running a product company, you know, we're a small team, a small product company in a really rapidly developing market in currently only in California, you know, there's so many challenges, there's so many hurdles. And the thing that keeps us going is, you know, getting in emails or testimonials from people that are like, oh my gosh, you know, I had a hysterectomy 2 years ago, or I've been going through breast cancer and I'm on chemo and it set me into early onset menopause, or, you know, I've had vaginismus for 10 years and have not been able to have pain-free sex. I think maybe one of my favorite reviews was actually from a gentleman who bought Night Moves for his wife. And he was like, this has changed my life. She had 5 orgasms. She hadn't had an orgasm from sex in like 10 years. We're in our 60s. Like this has completely, you know, relit the spark in our life. And of course, you know, not everyone, that's not everyone's experience, but it does, you know, it gives us the stamina and that extra boost of energy that, you know, listen, like these products, they might not be for everyone and that's okay. But, you know, to your point, John, there are enough people who are looking for products like these. And so the slice of the pie is big enough. And we really see that with repeat customers. You know, people, you know, they'll keep coming back and buying over and over again. And if their favorite shop is out, they'll get like 5 emails from them in a week. And, you know, we're, especially with sometimes an older demographic, you're like, find a retailer, you know, feature on our site. And they're like, no. And you're like, okay, well, I'll call around for you, because, you know, it's customers like that that keep us in business.
That's amazing. That must make you guys want to cry to get a testimonial like that. Just someone saying Definitely. You changed your sex life. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. Especially like someone that's, you know, in their 60s, that's pretty life-changing. Well, so the Infuse, like we were talking about, the Infuse product landscape has expanded dramatically over the last few years. What kind of advice would you give to like carving out this kind of niche?
I think, for me, I think my advice to entrepreneurs, regardless of the space and industry, is to, you know, it's hard to run your own business. So solve a problem that you feel really passionately about, and then circulate it amongst your community and see if it has the same results. And if it does, double down, because, you know, that is the most important thing. And I think particularly, you know, if you're going to launch a new edible brand right now, you better have something very, very different about your, whether it's your, you know, and I don't think your pack, it can't just be your packaging. It needs to be the way you're sourcing ingredients, or the balance of cannabinoids, or, you know.
What if you have a celebrity to endorse? Because we don't see any of those.
I think celebrity ambassadors, or, you know, bringing on a celebrity to your brand can be a really strategic move. I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges for a brand that operates in the cannabis industry is the ability to advertise. You know, what platforms can you advertise, which leads to major challenges around brand awareness. Like the people who know Quinn, they love it. But our biggest challenge right now is, how do we get 10x, you know, how do we increase our awareness by 10x and then 50x? And a celebrity, you know, the right celebrity ambassador, I think, can do that. I think, you know, I've read some article about like Justin Bieber's brand of weed. I think, you know, there are times when it doesn't resonate, because if the product's not good, it's not good. But then you look at, you know, Seth Rogen's houseplant, and I haven't actually tried it, but I've heard, you know, that the weed is good. And then you look at Seth Rogen and you're like, yeah, no, I that makes sense. I think that guy smokes a lot of weed and he seems to be truly involved with the business. I think where it misses the mark is if a celebrity is just using their name and they don't actually care about the product, or they're not invested in the quality of the product.
100%. Well, so you're only in California. When I'm on the East Coast, when is this making its way over here?
Well, we are working on that licensing deal. We've had a number of conversations around licensing deals. You know, for us, the ideal licensing partner is someone who can, you know, we have a deal with them, and that will bring us not just to one state, but to 10 additional states. You know, we've also been looking at some Canadian firms. I think, you know, one of one of our sort of like strategic advantages is the fact that like we, you know, I think a lot of states right now probably have some type of infused intimate oil. Not a lot of states have a latex safe option. So I think that's definitely, that leads a lot of conversations. So hopefully, and you know, I'm hopeful we are working on them. I'm hope these things, they take a lot of time. We're a small team and we can be really nimble and be like, great, let's get this deal done next week. We'll call in all the right people. But when you're, you know, working with a publicly traded company, it's a much larger and longer timeline. So hopefully I'm fingers crossed within a year, I would love to see Quim products on the THC products in other states. But in the meantime, you can get our CBD products in many more retailers and directly on our website.
That's amazing.
I'm curious about that, Kayo. Talk about the difference that you're seeing in both interest growth and the type of consumer who are buying the CBD product out of the mainstream channels versus the THC infused ones in the dispensaries.
Yeah, I mean, I think CBD has been a lot, you know, is the path to being accepted as like a mainstream, you know, ingredient is a lot faster. The fact that, you know, we did a big pop-up with Nordstrom last year around Valentine's Day, and they sold through their initial order in like 2 days, had to place like 5 more orders. Each one was larger in size. And I think, you know, if you're able to see our products at a Nordstrom or an Urban Outfitters or a Madewell, it provides this sort of mainstream credibility. And I think, you know, THC is still somewhat taboo. I mean, to sell a THC product or to get our products, you have to go into a dispensary. And I know lots of people still don't feel comfortable going into dispensaries. So I think there is maybe a broader, more mainstream appeal to the CBD products. And also CBD and THC work differently on the body. So they do have different, you know, I would say that it's not like our CBD products are just like CBD versions of other products. They have different ingredients. They have different use cases. And I think they have really strong use cases for people with PCOS, endometriosis, people who are recovering from a vaginal birth. You know, you might, probably don't want to use THC on your vagina if you're breastfeeding, like immediately after having a vaginal birth. But, you know, 6 weeks after pregnancy, or maybe even, you know, we have a lot of people who start using these earlier, you know, using CBD to our CBD based products to aid in the healing process has been really powerful. So I think, you know, obviously the biggest indicator is, do you live in a state where you can go to a dispensary? And then the second is, do you feel comfortable going into a dispensary? So those are, you know, even just those two factors eliminate a huge sector of the population.
Right. Well, what are your, any predictions or expectations for 2022?
Yeah, we have a lot of really exciting things happening this year. We're fundraising right now. So we're raising our official seed round. We're having some really exciting conversations. So very much looking forward to wrapping that up so we can start deploying that capital. We have, in the next 3 months, we're launching 2 new products, and the next 6 months, an additional new product. And, you know, pending all of our supply chain, you know, fingers crossed for supply chain, you know, smooth supply chain, we will hopefully be launching a 4th product this year at the end of the year. So that's really exciting to me that we are actually, you know, getting to bring new products to market. You know, I think this year, you can expect to see Quim in, you know, a lot larger big box retailers. So those are hemp derived CBD products. And we are, yeah, we're hiring. You know, I feel like it's a really exciting time at the business. You know, the past 2 years, you know, with COVID, everyone, you know, you sort of had to hunker down, really trim the fat from the business, but that gave us a lot of clarity into, you know, instead of, you know, okay, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. It's like, nope, this is the most profitable part of the business. This is where we're investing our time and energy. So yeah, I'm excited about this, I think, sort of renewed laser focus.
That's amazing. Well, I'll tell you that the amount of times I've mentioned that I was going to be interviewing you, I mean, everybody was just like so excited and thought you guys were just the greatest and excited. That's about your brand. And you have a great following and a lot of people are excited about what you're doing. So it's amazing.
Awesome. I love to hear that.
John, do you have any expectations or any hopes, dreams for 2022?
I do. I will echo your point, Heather. I've told a few people here that I'm about this interview, and they're like, and I'm in Kenya, and they're like, when can we get these products here? So when we're ready for global expansion, clearly there'll be opportunities in Africa as well. But, you know, to me, this is such a great illustration of the breadth of opportunity that cannabis socialization and normalization presents. You know, I think the faster that we are graduating from this kind of reflexive expectation of the stereotypical cannabis consumer, and that definition has evolved quite a bit. I don't think it's we are anywhere still in an ecosystem of people thinking of cannabis consumers as necessarily being the couch potato, Simpsons watching, nachos eating consumer. But even then, there's still, I think, quite a lot of stigma and a very narrow kind of breadth in the range of both products and expectations of who the cannabis consumer can be. And I think this is a perfect type of product to break those assumptions and allow consumers to start thinking really expansively, not only about the types of products that they're consuming, but the use cases of those products. You know, it kind of makes sense that you can make, you can see the direct logical leap that if cannabis helps you enjoy your food more, helps you enjoy music more, then, you know, it's not that much of a stretch to realize, yeah, it could actually help make your intimacy experiences. It could help elevate your intimacy experiences. And so that expanded thinking about what an elevated experience with cannabis can be across the diversity of human experience, I think is both really exciting. And I expect that that's one of the changes, one part of the evolution we're going to be seeing in 2022, much richer conversations about the breadth of ways that cannabis can elevate our lives. And clearly, Quim has kind of helped expand the our understanding of the opportunity it presents in the bedroom.
I completely agree. I'm very excited about this industry and, you know, the consumer demographic continuing to expand and bringing in people who, you know, a few years ago would have been like, no way, no how. And now they're like, okay, well, I'll give it a try.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Before we go, I wanted to, you know, we give our guests an opportunity to give a shout out to someone in the industry that you think is doing amazing things. So Kayo, you have the floor.
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I mean, Rosie Matteo at Matteo, you know, Communications. We've been working.
You're the second person to shout her out.
I mean, she is.
I mean, that is impressive.
Amazing, but
we just started doing this like 2 months ago.
But I will say, you know, sometimes the employees of these companies don't, you know, I think we look to give accolades to the founders. And I do want to give a shout out to Renee Costas, who was our first account rep there. And I mean, I can't remember the last time I was so impressed by a young person. I thought she was like 35. I think when we started working with her, she had maybe just turned 26. And she, you know, she made me believe like that PR is worth investing in. And, you know, she recently got promoted to being a VP at Matteo. And I just, she is such a freaking rock star. I mean, of course, Rosie, you know, she's built this amazing company. But real shout out to Renee, who is a pleasure to work with and just such an asset to the team. And, you know, it's been so amazing and inspiring watching her grow over the past few years. So, yeah. And I don't think she's a woman to watch. So watch out, world. Renee's, she's going to do big things.
All right. Rock on, Renee. Well, thank you for joining us at Canna Week, and thank you to our listeners. Please be sure, again, to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and really like us, leave us a 5-star review. I'm your host, Heather Wicklund, and I will see you next time.
New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.